For several years, I've worked at an office building in the center of town. It's an online news and journalist company, and I'm one of the web developers. My job is usually just to make sure all the articles launch on the website properly, and to make sure the site runs smoothly and stays up 24/7. Now, we usually had an overnight worker, but he had recently quit, and so the company kind of forced me to fill in until they could find someone else. At first, I didn't mind. I mean, how bad could it be? But I learned pretty quick that it was awful. I was the only one in the building working overnight. I had no one to talk to, and really nothing to do. I would just have to sit there by myself in a huge empty office. On this night, I was lucky enough to have a small project to do. It wasn't much, just adding a page to the website, but it kept my mind occupied for an hour. Once I finished it though, I was back to just sitting and waiting. Eventually, I got up and made a cup of coffee, and decided to take a walk around the building. I had never explored any of the other floors or rooms before, so I was both bored and curious. I stepped into the stairwell and walked up to the top floor. All the lights were off, except for the one in the hallway. I walked down and casually looked into a few rooms, but there wasn't anything interesting, so I started walking back to the stairwell. But then a sound came from below me. It was a door squeaking open, or at least it sounded exactly like it. I knew nobody else was in the building with me, so it sent a chill through my body. I quickly calmed myself though, and thought it was probably just a pipe in the walls, or the building making some other sound. I walked back down to the third floor, and began walking down the hallway toward my room, but something caught my eye. A door to one of the other rooms was open. I don't know why, but I felt like I remembered all the doors being closed. I didn't know if this was my brain playing tricks on me, or what, but for some reason, I just knew that door was closed. I walked over to it and looked into the room. It was a large office, just like mine, with rows of cubicles in the middle. All the lights were off, so only the thin line of light from the hallway seeped into the room.
"Hello? Is someone in there?"
I called out, but my voice echoed through the hollow room with no reply. Another chill ran through me, and I closed the door, then went back to my office and sat at my desk. I chugged my coffee and rubbed my eyes, trying to get my head together. I checked the time, and it was a bit past 2 a.m, so I just had a few more hours to get through. I ended up scrolling through my emails, and wasted another 10 minutes before I heard it again. That same exact sound, this time noticeably coming from somewhere on my floor. I stood up, and with my heart racing now, I hurried to the door leading into the hallway. I opened it and looked out. That same door across the hallway was now open again. I felt my stomach tighten and my body go numb. Something was seriously wrong now. I decided there was no better time to leave than right now, as I wasn't going to risk looking around again. I stepped into the hallway and started hurrying towards the stairs. As I did, I heard a footstep behind me. I quickly glanced back. There was a woman standing in the hallway, not far from the office I just came from. She looked disheveled, with tangled long dark hair, and her eyes wide open, making her look completely insane. I ran for the stairs and continued all the way down to the bottom floor. I heard her footsteps behind mine for a second, but then it sounded like she stopped chasing. I called the police once I felt I was safe. What's crazy is I had eyes on the back door, and the main hallway camera could see the front door, but when police showed up, they couldn't find her inside the building. None of the doors were unlocked or broken either, so how she got in or out is a mystery. For the next couple weeks, the company hired an overnight security guard, but I was still terrified. Every night, I would be constantly looking over my shoulder, thinking that woman could have snuck back inside, and with no other info on her, there's no saying what she was trying to do. This happened a few years ago. I was hopping between jobs a lot, struggling to find something that paid well enough for me to live on. I found myself working as a security guard for a large warehouse. When they hired me, it was pretty clear they'd never had a security guard before. They basically told me I just needed to walk the perimeter and make sure nobody broke in or stole anything. I found out a few days after getting hired, from one of the employees, that there had been a couple break-ins overnight recently, so that was the whole reason for hiring me. I probably should have been more worried than I was, but honestly I thought it was probably just because nobody was in the building overnight, so now that I was there, hopefully it wouldn't be an issue. The first 2 months were fine. Nothing happened at all. I never saw anyone come near the building on the cameras, or had any encounters. Considering the pay, and the lack of work I had to do, it was the easiest money of my life. Then, on a typical night, I came in at 11 and made sure all the employees and staff had left, then went around and locked the place up. I then went to the security office and double-checked the cameras were working properly and that there were no alerts, but I quickly noticed there was a flag on one of the doors. This meant it wasn't shut or locked properly. I had just gone around and shut and locked all the doors though, so I was reasonably confused. I got up and walked through the warehouse to the other side where the supposed unlocked door was. It was still closed, and the bolt looked like it was in still, but after a couple tries, it swung right open. I was really confused now. I looked outside just in case. The whole area around the warehouse was empty fields, and as far as I could see, there was nobody out there. I then turned my attention to the door. I tested the bolt, and it seemed to be okay, but the door would still open after a few tries. So then I looked at the notch in the door that the bolt slid into. Immediately, I found something strange. There was a small piece of wood sitting inside the hole. The way it was stuck inside there, it was very obvious that someone had put it there on purpose to keep the bolt from fully shutting. Having been on duty the night before and not seeing any alerts, this had to have been done recently too. I pulled it out and made sure the door was securely locked this time, then started making my way back to the security office to check the cameras. I wasn't sure if maybe an employee had done it earlier in the day for some reason, or if it was someone else, but as I was walking back, an uneasy feeling came over me, and I thought back to the break-ins I was warned about. The whole warehouse was quiet and dark, with only the dim energy-saving lights on, which didn't help me feel any better. I rounded the corner, just about making it to the office, when I saw something move by one of the storage racks. I could barely see anything, but I made out the shape of what I think was someone's head looking around one of the boxes. I quickly started walking again, trying to pretend like I didn't see them. I made it into the office and locked the door shut, then immediately used the phone to notify the police. My voice was shaky as I was completely terrified. I then put the phone down and logged back into the security system. I looked through each of the live feeds until I got to the one of the hallway I was in. I almost physically jumped from my seat when I saw the footage. There was a man standing right on the other side of the door. The view from the camera was far away, but there was no mistaking that he was holding a weapon in his hand. It looked like maybe a large knife, or even a small gun. I sat there in fear, panicking for the whole time I waited, thinking that this guy might shoot the lock off the door or something. After a few minutes, though, he backed away. I followed him on the cameras as he went to the other side of the warehouse and exited through the door I'd just repaired. He then ran off into the fields behind the warehouse. The company and the police worked together to do an investigation, but nothing ever turned up from it. Of course, I quit not too long after that and moved on to a way less stressful job. To this day, I don't know why that man broke in or what he wanted. I work at a small retail store. It shouldn't be any surprise to hear that I hate it there. The work, the customers, even some of the coworkers. But it's my first job, and really the only one I was able to get with no experience. Over winter break, my school was out for 3 weeks, which meant I wasn't forced to only work closing shifts. I talked to my manager, who said I could take up a few overnight shifts if I wanted. I gladly accepted, knowing I wouldn't have to deal with customers and mostly get to work at my own pace. I knew the overnight manager, Chris, and when I came in for my first overnight, he showed me what to get done and left me to do it. It was just the two of us, working on opposite ends of the store. Being overnight, though, it was really nice getting to work in peace and even listen to music as I did. But it only took a couple of hours for the fun of it to wear off. I was actually getting really bored and even a little sleepy, not talking to a single person. It was just past 1 a.m, so I let Chris know I was gonna take my 15. I grabbed my lunch from the fridge in the break room, then left the building and sat in my car. I scarfed down my food, hoping to have 10 minutes for a quick nap. But before I rested my eyes, I noticed someone standing next to the building. The entire parking lot was empty and dark, with only the lights from inside the retail store on. So there was no reason for anyone to be here. The guy was looking into the windows like he was trying to see inside. It was so odd that I felt like I had to stay awake to watch the guy. He looked like a pretty tall dude with short hair, wearing a dark leather jacket and some old boots. I watched him for the rest of my break, so a whole 10 minutes, and the guy still stood outside and was just watching in the windows of our store. Having the clock back in, though, I got out and started walking toward the front doors. I was walking fast, hoping to slip by without the guy having a chance to stop me. But before I even got halfway through the parking lot, he spun around and looked at me. His eyes were dead and sleepless, and he had a blank face. I kept walking, trying to make it to the door, but the guy immediately started walking over to me. He was maybe 10 feet away as I came up and started unlocking the door, and he called out to me as I hurried inside and locked it behind me. I just ignored him out of a gut feeling that he was up to no good. Maybe it was harsh of me to not at least see what he wanted, but at the time, I just had a really bad feeling about him. I made my way to the back to use the bathroom, then was back on the sales floor a few minutes later. I wanted to get back to work, but I felt tempted to check on the front windows and see if the guy was still creeping around out there. So I walked up to the front, expecting to see his creepy eyes staring through the window, but he wasn't there, not even anywhere in the parking lot. I figured he left for good, so I went back to the aisle I was working in. Another few minutes went by. It was probably 1:30 by now, when suddenly the alarm sounded through the building. I knew exactly what it was right away. It was the back door that was in the storage area of the building. Sometimes the managers would toss stuff in the dumpster out back and accidentally trip the alarm. But with only Chris working, it seemed really unlikely. I started making my way to the back of the store, but the closer I got to the doors to the storage room, the more the bad feeling crept up inside of me. If it was Chris, surely he would have shut off the alarm by now. Then I got to the back, and just before I entered, I heard a bunch of thuds coming from the other side. I quickly pushed open the door, and the sound stopped. Down the large hallway, I could see the back door wide open, and there was no sign of Chris anywhere.
"Chris?"
I called out. He didn't respond, but instead, a moment later, a head peered around the corner on the other end of the hallway. I recognized that man's creepy dead look right away, and felt my whole body tense up. After hesitating, I went right back the way I came, not stopping for anything until I got outside and into my car. I called 911, and it was as I did that I realized I still had no idea where Chris was. Cops arrived quick though, running into the building and searching the whole place. Thankfully, they found Chris unharmed. He had locked himself in the manager's office after the guy broke in and chased him. He also explained the thud noises I heard, saying the man was pounding on the office door and trying to break it down. The guy ran away as soon as I did, so he was gone before the cops could get to him. We have a blurry image of his face from the security cameras, printed out and hung up on the back wall, so other employees can keep a lookout for him. As far as we know, he hasn't come back, and there's no saying what he was trying to do that night. I'm just lucky that my gut feeling was working well that night. I'm a groundskeeper at the cemetery in our town. Despite popular belief, the job usually isn't that creepy. The only thing I find unsettling about the place is the couple of bells that are still left by some of the gravestones that have been there for almost 2 centuries. Most nights, though, nothing at all happens, and I just go about my routine work. Sometimes a group of kids will show up, but as soon as they see me, they always run off. Since our town is relatively small, this is the only cemetery within several miles, so the graveyard is actually pretty big so that I can fit all the stones. This was on a Thursday, in the middle of summer. I'd shown up at 10 p.m., like usual, and went into the small brick building that we called the Outpost. It was a single room with some security screens and general maintenance tools, as well as a small bathroom. To start the night, I grabbed the keys and walked down to the main entrance gate and locked it up. While I was there, I noticed a man walking in the grass on the other side of the gate. He wore a black hoodie and was sort of walking along the fence only a few feet from where I was. I waited for a minute and watched him walk past the gate and continue along the fence. But seeing him do nothing else, I went back to the outpost. I put the keys back on the wall and stayed inside for a half hour while I looked over some things that the day workers had left me. Then at about 11, I grabbed the key to the runner and went out to get it from the shed. It was just a small ATV with a basket on the back for us to use when doing yard work. I pulled it out and started making my rounds to each gravestone, making sure there were no damages, and picking up any flowers or other things left behind. We do this every Thursday, since most funerals are over the weekend, so that people have time to collect their items if they want to, but most people just leave them. Anyway, I drove around and collected some of the flowers, putting them in the back of the runner, when I saw a figure on the other side of the yard. Immediately, I looked around for any more people, trying to see if it was a group, but it was just the one guy. I started driving toward them, but even with the sound of the ATV, which was pretty loud, the guy didn't look at me. He stared ahead as he just kept walking through the yard. Thinking this guy was maybe in distress from a recent loss, I pulled up right next to him and tried to be polite at first.
"I'm sorry, sir, but the yard is closed until tomorrow morning. I can give you a ride out."
He continued walking, not even looking at me. I pulled up beside him again, and this time didn't go as easy on him.
"You have to leave now, or the cops will have to get involved for trespassing."
He finally stopped and looked at me. His eyes were red and wide open, and he was smiling. It was like a sad smile. I don't know, but it creeped me out. There was a couple seconds where neither of us said anything before the guy lunged at me. He hit the side of the runner, and I was able to speed off before he grabbed me. I quickly turned around and headed straight for the outpost, calling 911 on my radio as I did. I parked the ATV outside and went into the security room, continuing to inform the police on the situation. The department is only a couple minutes away, so I holed up in the outpost and started looking through the security cameras to get any info on where the guy went. Before I could even find him on the screen, though, loud banging shook the door behind me. He continuously hit the door like his life depended on it, enough to start shaking the floor and walls of the small building. There was nothing to defend myself with, so I just watched the door violently shake and hoped it wouldn't give in. I quickly checked with the dispatcher, and they told me to hold out just a bit longer as the officers were only a minute away. Then, maybe 10 seconds later, the banging stopped, and I heard the guy sprinting away. I looked back at the screens to see which direction he ran in, and as soon as the officers arrived, I told them where he ran off to. After a quick look, though, they didn't follow him. The way he ran was toward a bunch of trees, and there was no way to know how dangerous the guy was, so chasing him into the dark wasn't an option. I made an official report and everything, but weeks went by and nothing was found. I don't know if he was just in a fragile state of mind from a recent passing or what, but what happened that night likely won't ever have any answers.
The first couple years of college, I worked the third shift at my local Wendy's. The pay sucked, but it was pretty chill. Other than the occasional late-night Karen. That was until I met Sandy. We hadn't gotten many customers that night, and I'd spent most of my shift sweeping and wiping the counters. Just when I thought I was going to die of boredom, someone pulled up to the drive-thru speaker. I put down the broom and turned on my headset. "Welcome to Wendy's, what can I get for you?"
"I need 50 chicken nuggets and 10 double cheeseburgers."
The man's voice sounded hoarse, but I thought it just might be the crappy Wendy speakers. I punched in his order on the computer screen, feeling sorry for my coworker Brad in the kitchen. He was the only cook working, so he'd have to make all that food himself. "Is there anything else I can get you, sir?" The man stayed silent and drove up to the window beside me. His white pickup truck was rusty and dented. A thick layer of grime had built up on the windshield. The driver's side window was down, and I could see the man inside. His face was pale. His eyes had deep purple bags under them. He gripped the steering wheel so tight his knuckles were white. All down his arms were strange scars. It looked like his limbs had been gnawed on by a dinosaur. I forced myself not to stare and opened the window. "All right, that'll be $45.74, sir." I wrinkled my nose. A horrible stench came from the car. It smelled like a swamp. I was used to ocean stink since I lived in Florida, but this was 10 times worse. He didn't say anything. He just handed me a wrinkled $50 bill. I took the money, trying not to show my aversion to his scarred arms and stinky truck. One thing I learned from working in fast food: you want to avoid confrontation at all costs. I gave him his change and directed him to a parking spot we had reserved for larger orders. I told him I would bring out his food when it was ready, but he just stared at me with those soulless eyes.
Sandy's mighty hungry.
When he opened his mouth, I could see rows of black teeth. I'm sorry, what?
Sandy's mighty hungry.
Okay, sir. I'll bring out your food in a moment. I shut the window, but he still didn't go park in the spot I'd shown him. I dealt with my fair share of creeps, but this guy sent chills racing up my spine. I waited eagerly for Brad to start sending food through the pass-through window. But after 5 minutes, he'd only gotten out 20 nuggets and 2 burgers. The creep was tapping on the window with his gnarled hand. I took a deep breath and opened the window, wincing at the stinky swamp smell. Yes, sir?
Sandy can't wait much longer. She's been waiting at the house all day.
I'm really sorry, sir. He's working on your food right now. I'll get it out to you as fast as I can. I shut the window, growing frustrated. Did he seriously expect there to not be a wait for all the food he ordered? And what kind of chick was Sandy if she sat at home all day and then demanded enough Wendy's to put someone in a coma? Not even 2 minutes passed before he tapped on the window again. I threw it open.
What do you want?
He shot out his hand and grabbed my shirt by the collar, yanking me close enough that I could smell his putrid breath.
Sandy's not gonna wait any longer. How would you like me to feed you to her?
Get your hands off me!
I ripped his hands off my shirt and stumbled back into the window.
Get the hell out of here, I'm calling the cops!
The man snarled at me and pressed the gas. His car peeled out through the drive-thru. His taillights disappeared into the night. Good riddance. I went into the kitchen and told Brad that he made all that food for nothing. He was understandably upset, but we laughed it off and even ended up eating some of the burgers ourselves. About a half an hour passed with no customers, so me and Brad just kicked back in the kitchen and chatted. Right in the middle of our conversation, the power went out, plunging the kitchen into darkness. The stoves all clicked off, and the whir of the air conditioner stopped. We both thought it was weird since it wasn't even storming or anything. I followed Brad out of the kitchen. It was a little easier to see up front since there were no windows in the dining area, but it was still dark. Out of the front window, I could see the McDonald's across the street still glowing with electricity. All of the other buildings around us still seemed to have power. Only the Wendy's had lost electricity for some reason. Me and Brad both jumped and turned to the noise. The creep was back. He stood in front of the drive-thru window. He wasn't in his truck anymore, and this time he had a massive burlap sack clutched to his chest. His chapped lips were drawn in a sick grin. And to my horror, he pushed open the drive-thru window.
You need to feed Sandy.
Brad stormed through the window, fuming.
Sir, you need to leave.
The creep opened the bag and tipped it into the restaurant. A dark mass fell with a plop onto the tile. I squinted, trying to make out what it was. And then, Brad screamed. I ripped my phone out of my pocket and turned on the flashlight. What I saw will haunt me for the rest of my life. An alligator sat on the tile, its jaw locked firmly around Brad's ankle. Brad roared in pain. As blood splurted around the gator's mouth, I almost vomited as I watched it roll over, ripping Brad's foot off his ankle entirely. Brad wailed in pain. The nut job at the window started cackling.
Sandy's hungry! Sandy's hungry!
Brad stumbled backwards, but I caught him. His eyes fluttered back in his skull as I dragged him with me into the kitchen, slamming the door behind us. We both sat against the door to keep it shut. I called the cops immediately. It took them 10 minutes to get to us, and it was the longest 10 minutes of my life. All I could hear was that alligator scratching against the door and the weirdo just repeating Sandy's hungry over and over. The cops came and arrested that creep, and took the alligator named Sandy to a wildlife sanctuary somewhere. Apparently, the weirdo had captured the gator and kept it in his basement for years, feeding it fast food. I quit my job the next day and had to enroll in therapy. I still know I got lucky, though. If I had been the one to go to the window, it would have been my foot in Sandy's stomach.